Take your Bibles this morning and go with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. From approximately Mother's Day through Father's Day, maybe a week or so after that, we're looking at the best defense for our home. What is the best way for my home, for our homes, to be established, set up, and structured so that they are successful for the Lord Jesus Christ? I was speaking yesterday with a couple that is looking to get married here in a few weeks, and we were talking about the nature of the two homes that are used as illustrations in Matthew chapter 7. Do you remember the story there in Matthew 7 when the Lord closes the Sermon on the Mount and he refers to two different homes? And he says there's one home that is built upon a rock and there is one home that is built upon sand. And I was just reflecting on the fact that those two homes looked identical to everyone that passed them in the neighborhood. They looked identical in their shutters and their brick and in their mortar and all that kind of stuff. Those two homes would have looked very similar if you just drove by them. Those two homes went through the same kinds of things. The storms beat upon the homes. They beat and beat upon that home. And it wasn't until the storms came and beat upon those homes that you could really identify that there was a difference in each of those homes. One home was built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it sustained the storms of life. The other was built upon the sinking sand. And I believe that we have an obligation as believers to establish or structure our homes based upon God and His Word. Now, much of what I will share in this series is not popular with secular society. In fact, some of the things that I'm going to share this morning related to the nature of the fathers of our homes is contrary to what secular society will say. But you have a choice. You and I have a choice to base our homes on the Lord Jesus Christ and the foundation of an unchanging book, an unchanging word. Or we have the opportunity to choose to base our lives upon the sifting, sinking sand of worldly philosophy. It's ever-changing. It's a quicksand, if you would. And while storms come, it is quickly demonstrated that homes that are built upon the sand of secular society, it will fail. But if you want your home to stand in the midst of storms, then you need to either found, restructure, reestablish, re-energize, whatever word you'd like to use there, but your home needs to be founded on the Lord Jesus Christ and upon His written word. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the issue of the loving husband. It would be my prayer that every home has a loving husband. You know, we often think that the home begins when a husband and wife have children. Nothing could be further from the truth. The home begins in that time frame in which that husband and that wife commit before God and they declare the vow, I do. That home begins, and there are homes that have not been given children, but they're just as much a home. And so never think to yourself, well, we'll never be what God wants us to be because we don't have kids. The truth of the matter is that God's in control, is He not? And in the Word of God, we see again and again that God opened some wombs and God closed some wombs. But as a husband and wife, you're a home before Almighty God. The Bible says the husband and the wife are to leave their father and mother and cleave unto each other. They are to be glued together spiritually. And what God joins together, let not man put asunder. We looked at the matter of the loving husband last Sunday morning. I believe that a loving husband is the best defense against the nature of the spiritual wickedness that we face in this world. But I want to move this morning to a second area and a second format for our best defense. And I want you to read this verse with me here in Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 19. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 19, speaking of Abraham, and by the way, this is a tremendous chapter of the Word of God in the communication between the Lord Jesus Christ and what is called a theophany. It was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he appears to have a conversation with Abraham. Chapter 19 revolves around the nature of a father of failure. His name is Lot, and he failed his family, he failed his wife, he failed his children. He failed in so many ways, but the Lord Jesus Christ has a conversation with a father of faith. And he says this about Abraham in verse number 19. Oh, that you and I as fathers would have this kind of statement listed in the eternal word from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what he says about Abraham. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. The first part of the best defense is a loving husband. The second part this morning is the leading father. The leading father. What is your best defense against the spiritual wickedness in high places? I believe with all of my heart it is a father that will lead his home aright. The Bible says in verse number 19, for I know him. Let's pray and ask God's blessings and direction in the message this morning. Father, thank you for the privilege that I have to hold forth the Word of God. If these folks came to be entertained, then I believe with all of my heart that they will be disappointed. If these folks came this morning to hear from my philosophy of life and the things that I have conjured up and even perhaps put to pen and ink, they'll be disappointed. But I believe that if these folks have come this morning to hear from the eternal word as it pertains to the need of their home, that there is great help and sustenance and sufficiency in this blessed book. And I pray that you would help me to be faithful in communication, that my speech and my preaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of his power. Dear God, I pray that you would turn the hearts of the men of FBT. And I pray that we would be loving husbands, that we'd be sacrificial in our love for our spouses, that we would demonstrate that kind of servant leadership that is so lacking in our society today. May we be the chiefest of servants as we lead our homes. And now we turn our attention to Abraham and the story of his life and the fact that you identified him as a leading father, that he would lead his home aright. Would you challenge us with these few thoughts from your word today? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Number one, the loving husband. Number two, the leading father. In many cases today, one parent is trying to do the job of both parents. In some homes, parents are fighting against each other in the training of their children. Mom believes it should go one way, dad believes it should go another. But there's fighting as to the nature of bringing up their children. In some homes, there is a trouble spot in that each parent is trying to do the job of the other instead of trying to do exactly what God set forth for their role in the home. Do you know if both individuals are trying to be at the head of the home, it's going to create a disaster? Someone well said, anything with two heads is a monster. And you and I must understand that God has a role for each of us in the home. In these first 2 weeks, we are looking at the nature of the husband, his love for his wife, and now his leadership with the family. The Bible says here about Abraham that he would command his children and his household after him. Now, please do not think of this word command as being that of the nature of a master over all the slaves. God did not have me to get married that I might acquire a slave in life. It is very interesting to note that the Bible says that God took a rib from Adam. He did not take a portion of his head bone. He did not take a portion of his foot bone. We understand that in God's eyes, the husband and wife are equal, but for the structure of the home, there must be a leadership point. And we find that when they dwelt in perfection there in the garden, that they both had wonderful communion with God. But when sin entered the picture, God established a necessary structure for the home to run well. And the Bible says that we as fathers are to command our household after the Lord. Well, the man who leads his household for the Lord will be a man that understands several critical Bible principles. Number one, the man who leads his household for the Lord will first of all understand his responsibility. His responsibility. The father who leads his home for Almighty God will, number one, understand his responsibility. First of all, he is to direct the home. He is to provide leadership for the home and the understanding of where they will go and what they will do and having oversight of the family and what is best for the home. Number one, I believe that a husband in this direction for the home should direct the family altar. They should direct the family altar. In Exodus chapter 12, in verses 25 to 28, we find the Lord telling the fathers and those in leadership in their homes to direct their families for His sake, to direct their children, to be ready to answer spiritual questions and to give spiritual leadership. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, the Bible says that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What mean ye by these stones?" then ye shall answer them. Again and again in the Old Testament, we find the instruction given to the fathers to direct their homes and their family altar. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, the Bible gives this command to fathers. It says, "Bring the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." How many times in our secular society has the religious terminology and the religious energy has been given to the wife? And someone will say, "Well, she directs everything that's spiritual in our lives." My friends, nothing could be further from the Scriptures. I ought to be studying the Word of God for myself. I ought to have God working in my heart. I ought to have Him challenging me so that I can then turn to my family and in some kind of a time of family altar, whether it be at the morning breakfast table, whether it be in the evening dinner table, whether it be in the evening before everybody goes to bed, that the Father is directing spiritual things and encouraging His children to follow after the Scriptures and to follow what the Scriptures say. Fathers, we have an obligation to be growing spiritually. Do our kids ever see us in the Word of God? Do they ever see us praying? Do they ever hear us communicate? Do they ever see us in spiritual times with Almighty God where we are watching God at work, not only in our life, but then maybe also in the lives of our career or the lives of our home? Men, there is nothing wrong with having a godly spiritual wife. And I'm thankful for the wives that we have that have committed themselves to growing spiritually. And man, that's wonderful. But men, are you leading in that spiritual growth? It's very easy for us to sit back and say, "Well, Pastor, that's kind of the sissy thing to do." Nothing, my friend, could be further from the truth. Joshua was a man's man, and he led his home for the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that kind of example again and again in these Old Testament saints, and they led their homes for the Lord Jesus Christ. He directs the family altar. Number two, he directs the family agenda. He directs the family agenda. As we begin to break down our lives, number one, my relationship with Christ is primary. Number two, my relationship with my wife is secondary. Men, let's structure these things correctly. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It's interesting to note, and as soon as I say this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Decades ago, if you were to watch black and white television, the fathers had kind of a understood leadership in the home. And look at how we've progressed in television today. Now, I'm not saying we take our doctrine from television. I'm not saying we take our lead from television. But it is interesting at the change that culture understands. And in many ways, culture has affected. But days gone by, black and white television, father knows best. Now, father's the idiot in the home. He's the last one you'd want to ask. He's the last one you'd want to turn to. Now, culture says, that's so man-dominated to say that father knows best. But the truth of the matter is culture has swung so far that now father's the idiot. And time and again, he's the buffoon when it relates to anything in the home. When in truth, whether or not my father can work a DVR has nothing to do with his leadership in the home. Say, well, my dad's old school, or my dad's ancient in his understanding of technology or whatever. By the way, I think you probably should praise God if that is true in many ways. Society has told us that the father has to be the whipping post, if you would, or the brunt of all the jokes. He's the old man. He's the man upstairs. And instead of leading in the family agenda, we allow fame to drive the agenda. We allow fortune to drive the agenda. Or perhaps, and boy, I know this is tough for everyone to hear, we allow our children to drive the agenda. Fathers, we ought to do right by our wives. We ought to do right by our children in the leadership of our home and in the agenda. But can I give you a third thing? As the father directs the home and understands his responsibility, number three, the father ought to also direct the family attitude. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. My mom used to have a saying to us, as children, whenever something would go contrary and we'd begin to show our attitude, she'd look right at us and she'd say something like this, your attitude stinks. There was one day in the era of my brother's growing up that he came downstairs and they said to him, well, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You go back to bed until you make it right. And my brother was gone for the longest period of time, and they just couldn't figure out why. Why is he gone? Why is he gone? Well, his bed was up against the wall. And when they told him he got up on the wrong side, he was trying to figure out how he could get up on the other side of the bed. And so he stayed in his room because he couldn't figure that out. You know, I think many times our family's attitude stinks because dad's attitude stinks. And we must be careful that we do not have a disrespectful attitude towards God. Towards responsibility. Toward others, toward authority. Think with me for a moment about how this flow chart works and how often we look at our wives and we think to ourselves, man, their attitude stinks. Or we look at our kids and we think their attitude stinks, but they're looking at us. And we've got a sour disposition. We are rotten in our spirit. Our attitude stinks. It's not a surprise that children don't show gratitude when they've never seen gratitude from their dads. It's not a surprise that kids hate responsibility when they've seen dads that hate responsibility. It's not a surprise that kids have a hatred or a dislike for authority when they've listened to their dads have that kind of hatred or towards authority. The father will understand his responsibility. He will direct the family altar. He will direct the family agenda. He will direct the family attitude. But then also in his responsibility, he must not only direct the home, but he must bring discipline to the home. Now, obviously, when you and I hear the word discipline, everybody just kind of throws themselves up and says, oh, no, not discipline. Well, it's not just about physical discipline here. There must be an overall discipline that is demonstrated in the home for the sake of structure. Does anybody remember the verse in the scriptures? I believe that it says that God desires for us to do everything, what's this? Decently and in order. Now, I do not believe that God has placed me in the home to be the drill instructor of my home. I'm not saying to my boys, get down and give me 50 because they didn't take out the trash quick enough. I'm not doing that. Again, remember the first message, I'm to be a servant leader. But as the father, I have the responsibility of bringing discipline to the home. Would you remember the challenge that is given to pastors? The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it is one that ruleth well his own house, listen to this, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Do you know what I think is interesting? I think it's interesting that when I discipline biblically and set a course for my children to understand the word no, so that they can go into Walmart and not be a holy terror, that people say to us, my, your children are so well behaved. Isn't that refreshing? Give me this, I want that, give me this, give me this, give me this. And this is what you see from aisles away, all over grocery stores and Walmarts and malls. Give me this. We were walking in the mall this past Thursday night, and a kid, I didn't see exactly what brought this about, but a kid throws herself down in the middle of the walkway. And I think the mother said something like, oh, no, you don't, you know. But here's what's interesting. When you set up structure so that your child has an understanding of decorum and how they ought to behave, and then people come by and they say something like this, my, aren't your kids well behaved? They think to themselves that they came out of the womb from the hospital like that. And a statement will be made like this, you sure are lucky that you have that kind of a child. Can I just inform you right now, luck has nothing to do with it. The other day, our son Carson, he's not here this morning, so I'll say this in his absence. Hopefully he's in services someplace else, right? Carson came to me with a genius plan. And he said, Dad, when my wife and I have kids, we're going to bring them to you and Mom. And we want you to raise them until they're 18, and then we'll take them back. Early on in their understanding, they learned the word no. Now, do they have it all down? No, they're still sinners. Is Dad done working on them? Are you kidding me? Is Mom done working on them? Oh, no. But they must understand that there must be self-discipline in areas of life. Why? Without self-discipline, you and I see what's happening in society. You and I see the nature of how kids respond and how kids act. And my friend, believe me, it is well worth the investment to train the 2-year-old to understand the word no than it is to try to help the 17-year-old. And so when we talk about this matter of discipline for the fathers, we're not talking about it in terms of being the drill instructor. We're talking about it in terms of life. And they grow up with an understanding that God placed them in our homes for 18 years, that they might be trained and brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they might grow in maturity, that they might understand life, that they might be sent forth, that they might be useful tools for God's name's sake. None of us have perfect children. And by the way, none of our children have perfect parents. But we have an obligation as the dads to be training them up. Can I give you a verse that's still in the Bible but is not popular with secular society? Proverbs 19 and verse number 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. I believe in biblical discipline. I believe that it can be applied correctly, and that it changes the nature of the child's life. It changes their direction. It changes their hope for their future. I tell you what, we live in a society in which the geniuses of the day say that we just need to let kids figure out everything on their own, and we need to let them do whatever they want, and in the end, they'll select the right path. Do you know the verse in Proverbs that says even a child is known by his doings? There are so many individuals that invested in my life because they understood the natural bend of my doings, and they did not want my doings to bring the ruin of my life. And so they gave of themselves. Well, a father has a responsibility. He has a responsibility to direct his home. He has a responsibility to discipline his home. But number two, the father that is going to lead his home will also have a reliance. He will have a reliance. Where is his reliance? God must be the center of my life. Psalm 127 in verse number 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. Proverbs chapter 30 in verse number 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Man, God must be the center of our lives. If that is not true this morning, men, will you go home and repent and say, dear Lord, help me in this area, because if God is not the center of your life, he will not be the center of your home. God must be the center of your life. Men, the word of God must be the fortress surrounding your life. Psalm 119 and verse number 42, the Bible says, for I trust in thy word. Psalm 119 verse 114, I hope in thy word. Psalm 119, 133, order my steps in thy word. Psalm 119, 162, I rejoice at thy word. Men, have we ourselves become distant from this precious book? In Genesis chapter 18, Abraham is talking directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I do not have that kind of access today, in that we will see the Savior face to face as of yet. But do you know that this book contains all that God wants us to know to this point? Fathers, you and I have the opportunity to rely upon an unchanging word. Is your home based upon your employment? Is your home based upon your wherewithal, your goods, your riches? Is your home based upon popularity? Is your home based upon something outside of this book? If we are reliant upon anything else, it's a house built upon sand. And we must come back to being reliant upon this book and this word. Number one, the father has a responsibility to direct the home. The father has a responsibility to bring discipline to the home. The father has a reliance. It is upon Almighty God and His Word. And then number three, would you notice with me this morning that there is a great reward? If we as fathers will do right by God, and by the way, it is at our footstep or our feet that God places the responsibility for the home. Wives, at times you might be frustrated that you don't have the decision, the ultimate decision-making role in your home. And right now you just say, man, I am so frustrated by that. I could make better decisions than he's making. Wives, please do not make a statement like this on Facebook. My husband's an idiot. Please do not go into social media and make statements like that. Why? Why would that be dumb? Because as you are typing, my husband's an idiot, remember that you said yes. So if he's an idiot and you agreed to marry him, if I was the wife and I went on social media, I'd let everyone know I have the greatest thing since sliced bread. Why? Because then people will start to think that you made the best decision that was available. All right? But how often do wives want that place of decision making? You don't have it. But listen to me, wives, please, would you hear this? There will come a day in which husbands will give an account for their homes. You know, wives, you don't have the decision placed today, and listen to me, you don't have the place of accountability on that day. The husband will not be able to turn to his wife and say it was her fault that the family did not do A, B, and C. The husband, the father, will not be able to look anywhere else and say, well, everything would have turned out okay, but the kids that God gave me. Everything would have been great if I just would have had a different spouse, if I would have had different parents. No, when the day of reckoning comes, I, as the father of our home, the home of Todd and Rebecca Abbey, I'll be in that place of accountability. And God will look directly at me and no one else, and there'll be no blame shifting, and there'll be no defense attorney. And oh, by the way, my mom won't be there to help me. I will give an account for the success or failure of my home. What is the reward then of the father? He has a responsibility before his home. His reliance must be upon God and His Word. But what is the reward? Listen to the reward that the Word of God gives to us. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 23 and verse number 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. Proverbs 23, verse 25, thy father and thy mother shall be glad. 3 John 1, verse number 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. In the end, the greatest reward is to have children that love the truth and that live the truth. We're right on the brink of this next step that so many of you have already taken. And so many of you have already taken it several times. But here in a week or so, our son will graduate from high school. And we're right on that brink that so many of you have already experienced. You know, a lot of people ask our seniors, hey, what are you going to do with your living? Where are you going to go to college? What are you going to do for your career? What are you going to do for all these things? And they begin to ask these kinds of questions. And I know that there will be things that will cause us to have energy and excitement, and we'll hear good reports and everything like this. And we're working through those same things just as you have. But in the end, would we all remember that statement in John's epistle? He didn't say, I've got no greater joy than to know that my son's bank account is larger than everybody else's. He did not say, I'm thankful that my child's house is bigger than everybody else's. He did not say anything like that. He said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. If the time comes that the boys begin to make their own choices in life, and they choose the path that God has given to them, and they embrace it, and they walk in that path all the days of their life, my friend, I will be of all men most blessed. Right now, I as the father have the responsibility for their lives. You want to set up the best defense for your home? Then you'll be a loving husband. Go back today. Scrap what secular society says. Throw it all in the garbage bin because it's a bunch of garbage, and come back to this book and follow it wholly. Be the loving husband that God declares. Do you want to change your home for Christ? Do not go home today and go through a laundry list of what you believe your wife is not doing. Do not go through the list with your kids and say, if you all would just straighten up, I'd be a much better dad. No, go home, get on your knees, confess before God that you have an appointment with Him and that you'll give an account. It's interesting that in Genesis chapter 3, when each one of the participants in that sin began to blame somebody else, God never said, oh, I had no knowledge of that. Now that I know that that person was at fault, then I won't put anything at your feet. No, each one of them faced the consequences for their choices. Ladies, if you have yet to select the young man that you're going to say I do to, would you be looking for a leader? Men, if you have a daughter and that daughter is dating a slug, step in. Say, honey, this young man will never lead you or your home. Step in and do what's necessary to protect her future. And I beg all the men of FBT to be the leading father that God would have us to be. Let's pray.